I'll try on just to get up that hill. Now we up in the big league.
That's the theme song for the Jeffersons.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You out of your mind?
What?
You really need help.
And just because the theme song don't make it not true.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, just because it's a theme song don't mean it ain't true.
Depends on whose theme it is.
Moving on up.
A deluxe apartment in the sky. That was true.
That was definitely true. That one's definitely true. What are we talking about today, Rob?
All right. Today, we're going to talk about movie soundtracks. Some of the ones that we like, the ones that we think are the best. That you would put in your car, that you would...
Most things we talk about here on East to West with Nick and Rob, there are hundreds and hundreds of excellent movie soundtracks we could name. So the only responsible thing to do here would be to break this up into a couple of segments. So we'll call this East to West with Nick and Rob, Top Movie Soundtracks, Our Favorites, Part 1.
Part 1.
All right, so you kick it off.
One of my favorites. Okay.
We can't label it.
This one started out as a Saturday Night Live skit.
Okay, interesting.
Now it became a big-time movie in 1998, and I'm talking about Night at the Roxbury.
Wow, that's shocking. This is the first one out of the docket there.
Right out of the docket. This one is chock full of those 90s dance tunes that some people say they don't like.
Don't hurt me no more.
What is love? People say they don't like this type of music.
On News Channel 8, we're bopping our heads.
I know that people love the soundtrack. Right there, you had Hathaway with What is Love, the lead song in the movie. The great scene where they're bopping their heads in the car and, oh, I broke the window again.
Was this a hot karaoke song with a band in a box?
Some people did sing it. When I knew who the singer was, when they did sing it, I actually would leave the room. But
I'm sure that happened a lot. That's a tough business. Would you leave the room if I sang?
No, I wouldn't leave because I'd probably have to work on the sound a lot. But
I appreciate that. Please help me.
certain people they would sing, they would like overemphasize a lot of the words and drag it up.
I agree with this. It's all about the phrasing. If you can't sing, just own that shit. You got to really go for it.
But back in those days, I used to develop a skill where I actually would tune out everything around me and I would not hear a single thing going on.
You were like Kevin Costner in For Love of the Game. Clear the mechanism.
Clear the mechanism and then go for that perfect game.
So, it's a great skill to have. I need to learn this.
So not only does it have What is Love, it also has Be My Lover by LaBouche.
Yeah, that's classic. Yeah.
Rhythm is a Dancer by Snap.
Oh, another one. Unbelievable.
It's just Europop, 90s dance hits at its best.
There is a sweet spot here in the late 90s. Now, for those who don't know, I lived in Europe in 99 and 2000. And this was like basically the pop remixing nonsense, like the Blue Guys and Mambo Number 5 mixed 1,000 different ways and Madonna's Ray of Light 50 million different ways over and over and over again. There's a little sweet spot in there, though. A little Robbie Williams, a little just a Soussan of Oasis in there. There's some good stuff. And I really appreciated that time. This fits right into that pocket perfectly. And I think this is a good first choice right out of the gate there.
Well, what do you have? I'm almost going to predict yours. So.
Yeah, you probably know. So I tried to mix it up because I didn't want to, like, you know, listen, these things touch me emotionally. And if they touch me emotionally, they stay in my brain. Some of the movies I love are accompanied by amazing soundtracks, but I think I might shock you a little bit with my first one. I wanted to go a little bit more old school. And I tried to think of this like, you know, I can't help but think of like top five of all time, et cetera, et cetera. So it's got to be an even soundtrack and very good. Top to bottom. Now, there's a ton of movies that apply here, and certainly some of my favorites of all time, which I know you know, but I'm going to go a little old school. 1983. Kevin Costner was in this movie, although you never saw him. This is The Big Chill. And if you just look top to bottom, this soundtrack is freaking loaded. Just loaded. I mean, we're talking Marvin Gaye, Heard It Through the Grapevine. We're talking You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. A Whiter Shade of Pale, one of maybe the most underrated songs of all time, is on this soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's kind of a one-hit wonder, I guess, but that's just an incredible song. Ain't Too Proud to Beg, My Girl, Smokey Robinson with the Temptations, Wouldn't It Be Nice, a totally underrated Beach Boys song. The Steve Miller Band's on here. The Band with The Weight, another great, great
Pulled into Nazareth.
Right? I second that emotion with Smokey Robinson, Joy to the World, Three Dog Night. I mean, there isn't a miss on this soundtrack. We didn't even bring up Bad Moon Rising by Creedence. It's clean across the board. And your buddy, Steve Winwood, Give Me Some Lovin', right? With the Spencer Davis Group. Another just, I love that band. So this is a hard soundtrack to ignore. I would put it in my top 10 of all time for sure. But we're just kind of going over the basics here, our favorites. This one, you put this soundtrack on back in the day when it was a cassette tape or a record, or even when it was a CD and you weren't allowed to just mix around on your iPod or your phone. You just leave it on and play and you're always going to be happy. So for me, the first one out of the gate, The Big Chill, 1983, incredible soundtrack. I stand by it.
I totally concur with you on this. The heavy Motown-driven soundtrack. And you said something at the top to bottom. And I believe that's all you saw of Kevin Costner in this movie was his bottom. Because didn't he play a corpse?
He was that guy. He was the guy in the box. Yeah. What's in the box? Kevin Costner.
Nobody puts Costner in a box.
Kevin Kline. You know Kevin Kline's one of my favorite actors of all time. Incredible performance. Just a really good movie, man.
You snivetting British.
Well, all right, what do you got next?
All right. You know this is very predictable for me. This is my number two, and it's a volume one and two. This actually had two CDs to it. It is the soundtrack to the movie, the great movie, Boogie Nights.
Oh, surprised you went Boogie Nights. Look at you. You went to the well before I did. Good for you.
Well, let's just go over this. This soundtrack has such tunes as Spill the Wine by War.
Classic.
Sister Christian, Night Ranger.
Sister Christian.
Fooled Around and Fell in Love. Now, this song is very interesting in itself because a lot of people don't know who the vocalist is on this. They think it's Elvin Bishop, who is the actual artist on this, but actually it's Mickey Thomas is the vocalist on this record.
Really? That is interesting. I did not know that.
This has some hidden gems in it too. If you watch the movie, you will hear them. Every single song on the soundtrack on the CDs is actually in the movie, such as Driver's Seat by the Sniff of the Tears Band, Feel the Heat and the Touch, sung by Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mikey Mac. Not a terrible artist.
And I believe that it was that the Transformers song or something?
What a genius, man.
When you're in Reha Jackson's house, you can hear, the fireman, Rick Springfield doing Jesse's Girl.
It's classic.
But at the end of the movie, you hear Only God Knows Why by the Beach Boys. So, I mean, this is one of the best soundtracks around. I mean, it covers two decades of music.
It's an incredible soundtrack, and like PTA movies, it's incredibly long, so that works also, which is why it's part one and part two. I love that soundtrack, and I like that movie a lot, as you know. So for me, I couldn't disagree with that one, no way.
What else do you have?
Just like your Boogie Nights, for me, most of these things are the ones that really bring emotion to your soul and the ones that are fit into the movie properly. You know, The Big Chill has all these incredible songs on it, but those songs are layered. It's a great soundtrack, but in the context of the movie, all those songs work also. And that's very difficult to do. One guy who's mastered this technique, and PTA is very, very good at it. I like almost all of his soundtracks, even the really, really dark ones, is Cameron Crowe, my buddy, as you know. Cameron Crowe is a genius soundtrack guy. He's an incredible filmmaker. He might be better at music than film, and that's saying something since his movies are, so many of them at least, are so good. So I'm going to go out of the bag and pull out Almost Famous. Almost Famous is a perfectly textured soundtrack. It has a ton of incredible songs on it. America, Paul Simon, classic, right? Simon and Garfunkel. The Who doing Sparks, incredible, right? I've Seen All Good People by Yes, underrated band. Listen, I like the Fever Dog song. That shit comes up on my iPod all the time. I don't change it. It's really, really good. Slip Away, Clarence Carter. Something in the Air, Thunderclap Newman. Tiny Fucking Dancer, Elton John. I mean, it's incredible. Simple Man.
Great scene in the movie.
Oh, it's so good. And the thing about it is, like, sometimes you can sort of art imitate life, life imitate art, right? Tiny Dancer brings all these emotions to people as a song itself. But ever since I saw that movie, when I hear that song, I think of Almost Famous. I cannot help myself. That's how good he just layered that scene with that song. It's so perfect. And it really captures my heart. Not only is it an incredible movie, an all-timer, but it is definitely an all-time soundtrack for me.
Well, let's not forget the song in the movie, which describes the whole context of the movie. movie. Cover of a Rolling Stone by Dr. Hook.
Classic.
On the cover of a Rolling Stone.
That movie, the fact that there's so much truth in that movie, so much about his own mom and his life. The honest movies are the ones that stand the test of time. Boogie Nights is very honest, and so is Almost Famous. We are just so lucky to have filmmakers that were able to get the music, because Cameron Crowe spent some of the most, at least at the time, it was the most money on a soundtrack ever. Led Zeppelin was known to not want to let their songs be in movies and stuff. They've obviously loosened that lately. So yeah, we're just lucky that they had great music taste, and it just complimented the movie as such.
Wow. I have another one for you. This one is the epitome of high school life. The soundtrack to Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, okay? That's good. I didn't see that one coming, actually.
A lot of the big songs that are in the movie are not...
Probably made the pool scene. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I'm going to get to that. A lot of those songs are not on an actual soundtrack for this movie.
Really? So it wasn't released as a complete soundtrack? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. So when you think about this movie, you got Somebody's Baby, of course, Jackson Brown, which is the only pretty much that and the Sammy Hagar ones, Waffle Stomp and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, are actually on the soundtrack.
Am I allowed to take a quick tangent here, Uncle Bookie, and ask, is Somebody's Baby your favorite Jackson Brown song?
No, it is actually not.
Is it Doctor My Eyes? Because that's mine.
No, it's not.
Really? Okay. All right. I just wanted to get that out. Do you want to tell the audience, or are you keeping it to yourself?
The Loadout.
The Loadout. Okay. That's a lengthy one, but it's classic. Yep. Yeah. It's
very good. Think about it, though, of what I did for 20 years on the road. I was the roadie as well as the talent.
I think you and Cameron Crowe, that's probably the same. Probably the same song.
In this one also, you got Wooly Bully is in this movie. American Girl by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
All right. Rest in peace, Tom Petty. A legend. I still can't believe it. Heartbreak.
The Go-Go's are in this too. We got the beat. And, you know, these are all very important songs and scenes. Kashmir, because, you know, that's the best way is to put on the second side of Led Zeppelin too. I believe that's what he said. He had it all wrong, actually.
That's my second favorite Zeppelin song.
But of course, the one song, the iconic song in this movie, is The Cars Moving in Stereo. And the only thing, every time I hear this song, is I think of Phoebe Cates coming out of that pool.
Kevin Kline's wife. God bless him. God bless America. God bless Phoebe Cates. That is so, the end all. Let's drop the microphone, okay? That's it right there. It don't get better than that.
It doesn't. I mean, there's a million soundtracks out there. These are three of my favorite ones that I listed, and we're ready to hear what your third one is.
I couldn't toss any of those out the window. Those are all incredible. It sounds like we need to go on a road trip. That's what I'm telling you right now. I'm going to close with a pretty newer one. I didn't want to go all old school with you, so I picked something a little bit newer. And I remember about the time this movie came out in, I want to say 2014, I was getting a little burnt out by these comic book movies, these Marvel movies. And I think I was longing for something new. Now, it didn't give me exactly what I wanted, but the music combined with the little added layer of comedy made this movie a lot more fun than I expected it to be. And it has proven to be an incredible soundtrack. And that is Guardians of the Galaxy. Awesome Mix Volume 1. Now, they have multiple volumes here as well, but the first one is really, really good. It's really good. Hooked on a Feeling, Blue Suede, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, The Jackson 5, I Want You Back, Come and Get Your Love, Redbone, Cherry Bomb, the Runaways. I still remember that scene in the movie. It's really, really well done. It's used incredibly well. Pina Colada Song, Rupert Holmes, Five Stair Steps with Ooh, Child, Things Are Gonna Be. It's really good, right? And it's fun. And again, like, good director knows how to sort of add this stuff and layer it correctly, texture it within the context of the movie. And this is a comic book movie. The people are, you know, there's green aliens, there's spaceships all over the place, guy whistles around with an arrow. It's weird shit, man, but for whatever reason it works, and the way they use it works. And I found it very endearing, very, very good. Guardians of the Galaxy, incredible soundtrack.
Remember, big boys don't cry. That is a great soundtrack. When I first saw the movie, that's what drew me to it. It was him with his Walkman putting the tape in.
Mount high enough. You know what it is? Like, there's a charm to it that I think didn't work in the sequel. And I thought it was sort of lightning in a bottle. It was kind of a one and done. Now, more Marvel movies have used better soundtrack stuff. I know Captain Marvel tried it. Guardians 2 tried it. The Thor Ragnarok movie. But it doesn't work quite as well after the first time. This was the first one, and they really nailed it. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. enjoyed this one.
It is it's a great soundtrack. I mean, can't beat that. It was kind of funny that we had talked about these because everything that we've mentioned actually features a cassette tape. And I was going through some stuff today. I found an equipment bag and I actually had a cassette tape rewinder in there.
No shit. I remember the VHS rewind thing. It was pretty incredible. That was a big hot topic.
Yeah, because Be Kind, rewind.
Exactly, right? You were moving up in the middle class if you had one of those rewinders. That's like for video stores only.
That concludes our part one of our favorite movie soundtracks.
I have so many here. I have a list of so many. I'm going to narrow it down for part two when we get there. But I will say this. All six of those soundtracks, no effing brainers. No brainers.
No brainers at all. By the way, if anybody has any questions or concerns or wants to challenge us to find something for them, email us at East2West.
We will fight you. We will fight you, Chris Wallace.
East2West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com or on our Twitter at Nick and Rob E2W. That's Nick and Rob E, the number two W.
E, the number two W.
2 minutes, motherfucker. 2 minutes. You know what? Let's take a little break and hear a word from our sponsor.
A team that is known as the Bears.
The Bears.
And we are back. Nick.
Yes. Sports. Uncle Wookie. Sports. My favorite segment, America's favorite segment.
Did you know sports were back?
I've heard there's something about bubbles going on, but I'm not
the leader. It's time for Bubble Talk.
Pop those bubbles. Here we go.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa-cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right. We're going to try to keep Bubble Talk nice and quick. First of all, Rob, shock the world, Tampa Bay lifted the Stanley Cup. Anybody care?
Okay, Nick, you have 2 minutes.
2 minutes in the penalty box. What am I going to do? I mean, I thought Tampa Bay was going to win. It makes you feel any better that the team that knocked us out is the team that went on to win?
No, and I don't care. They can now take and drain the above ground pool of all the water and move on.
I will say briefly that when the NHL came back, they ran it very effectively. They didn't have too many outbursts, as far as I know. They fully embraced the bubble, and I was super stoked when hockey came back. It just sucks that the way the playoffs worked out, the reseeding thing, I don't think played to their advantage. Certainly didn't play to the Bruins' advantage. They ultimately ended up with a shitty Stanley Cup, unfortunately. But good for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Congrats. Moving on.
Yep. We're on to Major League Baseball.
Okay, Major League Baseball is actually pretty fun. I've watched a few of these games, and it's quite exciting. We had the A's knock out the White Sox. That's heartbreaking for me because I had a big future bet on them. But good for the A's. Good for Billy Bean. Always rooting for them, sort of. Braves knocked off the Reds. I did like the Reds. You know that. At least they snuck into the playoffs after an abysmal start. Yankees knocked off the Indians. I wasn't that surprised there. Indians maybe shouldn't have traded away one of their aces. Rays knocked off the Blue Jays. Kind of surprised the Rays are playing this good. Can they win the World Series?
Oh, God, I hope not.
The Astros beat the Twins. I kind of thought the Twins would do better there, but it's a 3-game series, so.
Yep, my wife's cousin, once again, leaves the Dodgers, goes to another team, and they get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, look, the Dodgers are going to, they're going to get out of the first round, most likely, but they're not going to win the World Series because they don't know how. They just don't know how, Rob.
They just don't.
All right, let's quickly go over the NBA. Another season that sort of, you know, was fun when it came back, had a pretty good run there, but the finals are somewhat lackluster to me. A Heat-Lakers finals, obviously not something we want to see as New England fans. The Lakers knock off the Heat in the first game. Do you think the Lakers will just steamroll here? Kind of get that vibe, but I hope it's not true.
Honestly, Nick, I would just like them to get the series over.
Let's get it over with, right? Cross it off. We crossed off hockey. Let's cross off basketball so we can just focus on one or two things at the same time.
10 teams starting the playoffs playing on one court is awful. It takes forever.
Just hearing the basketball so cleanly hit the floor, it's kind of rough, right?
Right. It just took forever, though. I mean,
it's like the last 2 minutes of a basketball game. It never ends, Rob.
It doesn't. But I'd like to see the Heat win a game, at least blow out, maybe snatch some more hair off of LeBron's head. I don't know.
You know what? That's a good point, actually. You say that in jest, but what I would say is the Heat, which is what they did to the Celtics, switched defenses quite a bit to kind of mess them up a little bit, mess up their offense, especially to break up some of the roles that they got on. But what they're not doing is switching up defenses, at least not in that first game. They need guys like Hero to get hot, build a little bit of a lead, and then kind of go zone and then not zone and then kind of mess with the Lakers a little bit. I definitely think they'll win at least one game. I don't think it's going to be a sweep, but if it's a sweep, Kyrie, I'm not watching that last game.
I will say one thing. The quarantine in the bubble for the NBA has really helped Anthony Davis. With him growing his hair out, you don't notice that at unibrow that much anymore.
No. Yeah, I guess not. That's not what I notice about him. No, sir.
He looks much better with longer hair and not the burnt-like eyebrow.
I'm surprised that him and LeBron are getting along as well as they did. This is vintage LeBron, you know? And I'm surprised that Anthony Davis is kind of taking a backseat a little bit too. He had an amazing first game. But if you look at his numbers compared to LeBron's numbers through the playoffs, LeBron's playing better. He's going to be the MVP of this playoff thing. So I'm somewhat taken aback by that, at least.
You know, Nick, what they say, it's good to be the king.
All right, so NFL now. Let's go to the NFL. Last week was a tough week for us. We've become accustomed to weird week threes, and I think this was one of them. You know, that Bears-Falcons game, for one. Again, Falcons. Dan Quinn, what's the matter with you, man? Are you all right? Do you need a drink? Do you need help? What can we do to help you?
He's having 28-3 PTSD. That's all I'm going to say.
This is the Bears. This was Mitch Trubisky, who had a nice run and then got benched. And Nick Foles. What is happening here? The Falcons are going to go 0-16, aren't they? They're going to be leading by 30 in every game and go 0-16.
Big Dick Nick in the game now for the Bears.
I can play, though. Packing, and he can play. The Rams-Bills, that was kind of a marquee game. We had mentioned it last week on the pod. These are two good teams. Is this a Super Bowl preview, maybe, or am I getting a little too far ahead?
That was a great game. I mean,
watch, right?
All I was going through my mind, and I'm going to date myself now. All I was going through my mind was the Bills-Oilers back in the day.
Oh, God. Thurman Thomas.
The backup quarterback for the Bills at the time. He's a coach on some team right now. I can't remember who he was,
but Jim Kelly, I mean, guy was incredible. So consistent.
He was a good dude.
Yep. Good person, too.
You know, when the Bills came back and beat the Oilers in that game, that's what I was thinking was going to happen with the Rams making that huge comeback in that game.
Yeah.
But your boy, Joshy.
Josh Allen. This guy's really good. John Brown gets hurt. The one thing I would say about the Bills, Allen likes to run. I worry a little bit about the wear and tear. I know he's a big guy, but I think that they have running backs that could take some of the load off his shoulders. I think Singletary is pretty good. I know Zach Moss wasn't in this game. Use the running backs a little more, Josh. I think it's a long season. And if you're going to get to 10-6 or 11-5 or whatever they're shooting for in Buffalo, you got to watch the wear and tear. I feel the same way about the Patriots. We can talk a little bit about the Patriots. Rex Burkhead, we always know once in a blue moon when the stars align, Rex Burkhead comes out of the ether to have his crazy game and then does nothing the rest of the year. Apparently, this is that game.
It was a career game for him. And by the way, the quarterback for the Bills was Frank Reich.
Oh, Frank Reich. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Obviously. Nice career, actually.
He did. So COVID has struck the NFL.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if we were going to bring it up. It's very easy for me to say the arrogance of the NFL. They've sort of been arrogant the whole time. And you started to see this week fans in the stands. And I just think the NFL is not being wise about this. It is the fall season. It is the flu season. You know, I love watching it. It's so fun to watch. We both play fantasy football. We love making bets and talking about it. Come on, NFL. You can be a little bit smarter than what you're doing right now.
From what I could see is the Vikes game is still on.
It seems Texas like they're gonna play as far as we know right now. Anything can change.
The Pittsburgh Titans game seems to be put on hold. Do you think that they're going to do a work with the bye week or something and give these teams a bye week, swap it around? I mean,
so this is the funny question, right? So there's a lot of variability here. I think even more so than the baseball season, the hockey season, if something were to occur, or the basketball season, right? Because you can stretch it out. But there's only 16 games here. And everybody knows fantasy football is king. And the NFL in terms of sports betting is king. This is a big deal. First of all, how do the fantasy football guys even figure this out if one team or two teams takes a week off? And what are you going to do? Just transition the bye weeks? Like you said, that's not that easy to do. I almost thought that if they were going to come back, they were going to add an extra or maybe two extra bye weeks. So they would have a buffer during the season and probably address some of the player health. People with concussions, etc., could get more rest and then expand the rosters a little bit. There's a lot of variability here. I don't know what the NFL is going to do, but I tell you what my guess is. My guess is they don't do fucking anything because they're so arrogant and they just don't care that much. It's dollar bills, yo.
Yeah, I guess so. Speaking of dollar bills, yo, you want to place your bet?
Let's do it. Let's place them.
And now, folks, it's time for Who Do You Trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
What's a casino? People gotta win sometimes.
Money, money, money.
You just cost me $6,000.
But nothing's predictable in this tough, harsh, highly competitive world where today's champion is tomorrow's crocodile shit.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got? What do you got? What are your teams? What are the games that you're jonesing for?
So there's a lot of games I like this week. Week three was obviously not a great week for us, but I think week four, we could have something going on here. If you're a fan of the guy who's packing Nick Foles, I sort of like, from a betting perspective, Colts at Chicago. The line here is -2.5. So Indy -2.5. And the over-under is 43.
I haven't been doing so good, so I don't know what I'm going to do on this.
Philip Rivers hasn't been that good. T.Y. Hilton isn't doing shit. And the Bears have good players on that team. They just had a really crappy quarterback. Now, Foles, I don't think is amazing, but he's better. First of all, I think it goes over. Second of all, you can get the Bears money line. It's a no-brainer, man. Bears money line over 43. You know, if it gets to 44, all right, I'll still go over.
I'll go with that. I mean, I have a feeling that Jacoby Brissett's probably going to be quarterbacking the team again soon. So
he showed up last week. He looked all right. He looks spry. I like Brissett. I think he needs another shake. So Philip Rivers, I think he's near the end. He's Joe Flacco.
Stick a fork in him. He's done.
All right. So the other one that I sort of like that I think is somewhat interesting is Minnesota, if they play this game. They were so close last week to winning, and I started to feel bad for them. 0-3 now because Tennessee just barely squeaked it out, but they looked a lot better. I think Minnesota on the road to Houston, again, if they play, the over-under is 49.5. I've seen some places 50. It's Houston -4. And you know that Bill O'Brien is just itching to get fired. Deshaun Watson don't look right. David Johnson hasn't worked out like they thought they would. That was an awful, awful trade. One of the worst trades in NFL history, probably. And I think Minnesota is just the better personnel team. Now, maybe they don't know how to win, but 0-4 for the Vikings with all those good players, I doubt it, man.
You like that?
You like that?
Do you like that?
I'm going to go with Vikings. Old. I'm going to take the Vikings and they win their first game.
I think so too. And you could get them money line. So plus money on the Vikings if you just like them. There's a lot of value this week if you're an NFL bettor. And this is place your bets. Now, I want to ask this one. And of course, we'll get to the Patriots after this. So just hold your horses. Buffalo at the fucking Las Vegas Raiders. So the Raiders got a little bit exposed, right, by the Patriots.
Those stats are for losers.
It's Buffalo -2.5 over under 49.5, at least most places. I think that's way too much respect for the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Buffalo is clearly better, and I think they easily cover the 2.5. I'm not so sure about the over-under.
I'll go with that, too. Yeah.
Right? Every once in a while, Vegas, like after a week where they draw in a lot of money, and last week was probably that for them, they sort of get off the mark. I think there's a good week with a good opportunity. And speaking of that, the game I would stay away from that I think is probably about right, unfortunately, is this New England at KC game. They flexed it right to the late game. Good for them. That's the smart thing to do. It's New England +8. That's rough. The over-under is about 53.5, depending on where you go.
All right. I'm taking the Patriots. I don't care. I don't.
+8?
Yeah. I'm taking them.
I think it's actually safe. I would take the Patriots all the way to +7, depending on how it's going to go. And I think most of the money is on the Patriots plus the 8 points. But I don't feel super great about it. You know, the one problem I have with it is that the Chiefs consistently throw downfield. They've mixed it up enough, although I think they don't run nearly enough. Andy Reid can't help himself. Terrible clock management as always. But the Patriots are known to give up those back end big plays. And that would be my one concern here. And if they get down, forcing Cam to throw a lot, what's going to happen? I do think the Patriots can pull off something here and probably cover the 7, maybe even win, but I don't feel great about it.
This is going to be a game for the Twins. The Twins are going to make it happen. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, man. I hope you're right.
All right. You know what? The moment I've been dreading. Let's do the locks.
Lock it up, baby.
Play the music.
First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
All right, here come the locks of the week. Are you ready, Rob? Do you want to say our records or you just want to not let America remind them? Make them go back and re-download.
I haven't won a game.
0-3 for Uncle Bookie. Nikki the Greek, 1-2, not doing much better. But you know who's doing amazing?
The Phantom.
Fucking Phantom, man, crushing it. 6-3.
Two games each week. Two games each week.
6-3. Unfair advantage for the Phantom. All right, so this week, here are the options. The Sunday night game, Philadelphia at San Francisco. Philadelphia is +3, and the over-under is 46 most places. The second game, Atlanta at Green Bay. Atlanta, who doesn't know how to win football football games. Doesn't matter how much they're up. At Green Bay, over under very high video game numbers, 57, 57 and a half, Green Bay minus 5. What do you think, Rob? You got something out of those two?
Yeah, I got something. 49ers, I'm taking them. I'm taking them minus 7.
Wow. So you think they're going to do better than the 3. You tease that, you get a lot of value here in Vegas.
Eagles are an awful team. I'm sorry. Carson Wentz is a bust in my mind.
It's a good question. Is he going to get benched, do you think? Because I think they were flirting with that. He doesn't have any receivers. You don't think they owe him a little time to at least get, like, I don't know, Alshon Jeffrey?
The season that they went to the Super Bowl with him, you know, I know he was out for the playoff games. That was a fluke
Big
season. I'm sorry.
Dick Nick Foles. Yeah, I remember.
Right.
It's a rough watch.
It was a rough watch, but he's not that good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. I remember him in college, and you might be right. I'm not sure I was ever super enamored with him. Who's going to have a better overall career, Joe Burrows or Carson Wentz?
Probably Joe Burrows. As far as this game goes, Jimmy G's back this week, I believe.
I think so. I don't think that's totally confirmed yet, but I think so. He almost played last week, was the rumor, but he got scratched at the very end. 49ers have been decimated by injuries too, so I would keep that in mind. Although they can run the football, I think George Kittle's back. I don't know if that's 100% guaranteed, but Kittle and Garoppolo, Jimmy G, handsome Jimmy. Yeah, I think they should probably be able to handle business and cover the 3 points most likely. For me, I think this Atlanta-Green Bay game is somewhat interesting because Atlanta's got to be due to win one of these things, but you know Green Bay's my Super Bowl pick, and they played very well last week. I just don't see them losing, and I don't think they would lose, certainly in a close game. So I think they cover the 5, and I'd almost be tempted to go over the 57, but I'll lock up Green Bay minus 5 for my lock of the week. And I'm telling you, Green Bay is looking like a 14-2 kind of season, health provided.
Okay, I'm going to go with Green Bay as well. Plus 3, though.
Plus 3?
Yep.
That's a super tease. All right, we'll see what happens. So what's your lock? Let's refresh there. What are you locking in? You want to lock in the Niners or you want to lock in the Packers?
I'm going to lock in the Niners. That's my lock.
All right, there it is. Niners are locked in. I'm locking in the Packers. Those are the locks from Uncle Bookie and Nikki the Greek.
Now, this is what the Phantom is said to me via secret coding and texting, three-way texting, and then using an HTTP coding system. They have sent me their picks. The Phantom is taking the 49ers.
Really? Interesting.
Plus 5.
Are you the Phantom? Score.
I'm not the Phantom.
I'm not Markinson. Are you Markinson? All right, well, that's 2.
Final score, 28-17.
28-17 San Francisco. I like that score. That sounds very realistic to me.
The Phantom is also, you ready for this? Picking the Falcons to win.
Falcons outright. Jesus.
With a score of video game proportions, 42-39.
I don't know, man. Matty Ice, I don't see it. I almost hope the Phantom is right because I feel bad for Matty Ice. And I like Todd Gurley. I like Julio Jones. I like Calvin Ridley. It's a team of fun fantasy players. But man, that coach, there's something wrong with that team.
They've proven they can put up the points.
Yeah, they could score. They could definitely score.
They've also proven that they can give up the points.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And they can turn the ball over. They know how to do that also.
That's the Phantom's pick.
All right. So just to recap, the Phantom is taking 28-17 San Francisco and 42-39 the Falcons. Uncle Bookie took the 49ers to cover, and I took the Packers to cover. So there you are. Those are the locks of the week. Lock them up, baby.
Fuck you. That's my name.
You hungry?
Always hungry. What's the food segment this week?
You're going to be hungry after I talk about this. We're going to discuss mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, baby. Always good. Comfort food. That's what you call that.
Okay. Now, here we go. People, hear me out, okay?
I have questions.
Do you prefer to make your own mac and cheese? And if you do, do you like your mac and cheese to be gooey and ooey? Do you like it souffle style? And if anybody doesn't know what that is, I'll explain that. Or do you like boxed mac and cheese? The standby.
I think the answer is all three, right? I mean, it's a time question some of the time. It is a comfort food. So it kind of depends how much time do I have? What do I got in my fridge? And, you know, are the kids jumping up and down and how hungry are they?
Exactly. So let's go over some of these things. Now, the chewy and gooey and ooey mac and cheese is basically kind of like one that you can make stovetop, where you have your bechamel that you make, your cheese sauce, and you put it through your cooked macaroni, and you do not bake it. You leave it gooey and ooey. So when you take it, it's just like a cheese paradise, okay? Now, a souffle style mac and cheese is basically a mac and cheese where you mix all your cheeses through your mac, but at the same time, you're going to whip up some eggs with some cream on the side, and then you're going to form your baking tray with the mac and cheese, and then you're going to put your, basically the cheese, the custard that you're making into it. What happens is when you bake this, it puffs up. So it's like a casserole mac and cheese.
Yeah, I do like that one a lot. It's a little bit more work, but it's well worth it.
Very Southern. And you can add as many cheeses to this thing you want.
Top it with some breadcrumbs on top. It's very tasty.
Exactly. And then, of course, you know, there is the box mac and cheese, which is, you know, the owner of the Patriots' last name on the...
I need a massage. Can I get a massage? Can a guy get a massage in Florida?
Right. His last name, mac and cheese, or the little orphan girl.
By the box, that's good mac and cheese.
Yeah. And then, of course, there is the, you know, store brand kind. And then...
Yeah. The powdery cheese that you got to mix the milk into. Kind of gross.
You get ones from Trader's and...
Trader's has a low-cal one. It's unbelievable. I think it's only 200 calories. It's very, very good for what you're getting there.
And they have one with, you know, what we're going to get into also, add-ins. They have a mac and cheese with, like, Hatch chilies.
Yeah, it's so good. That's excellent, too.
What kind of mac and cheese do you like, Nick?
I like them all. Like I told you before, it's really a question of time. Where am I? What am I eating with it? I enjoy mac and cheese with, like, baked chicken, like the El Pollo Loco meal, where you can get a side dish of mac and cheese. But I also like it, like you said, the Southern style. When you're at a barbecue or something, you got ribs especially, and you have that casserole mac and cheese, incredible stuff. When I'm home, I don't mind making a box mac and cheese, but like you said, I'm always going to add some stuff in. So what are your favorite add-ins when you're just home? You got to attack the fridge and you don't want to just have a plain box of mac and cheese.
Depending on what I have, one of the things I like to stick in a mac and cheese is tomatoes. Now, you might think this is a little bit weird, a little bit funny, but if you think about it, another one of America's greatest snacks has been a, you know, we talked about it before, a grilled cheese and tomato soup. So this is kind of like compacting it all into that one, you know.
So what type of tomatoes are we putting in there? Is it like a fresh tomato? Are you dicing it down? Is it a can of tomatoes?
No, it's going to be fresh. What's the go-to move? Got to be fresh. Cut them up. You know, you got to get the aromas though. They're like a little bit hotter.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Because they're stiff. They're firm.
And those will hold up nicely to the baking process. And then of course, there's the topping itself, you know, the breadcrumbs. A lot of people like panko, you know, buttered panko. A lot of people like to butter their Ritz crackers and put them on there. Crush them up.
I've seen people do that. I have never done that myself. I'm tempted to try. Do you like it that way?
It depends. Here's an even funnier thing. I like mac and cheese with an applesauce, which, you know, a chunky applesauce.
That's new.
Because a lot of people like to actually eat apple pie with cheddar cheese.
If you don't like apple pie, you can go fuck yourself.
That's right.
If you like apple pie with cheddar cheese, I'll allow it. It's not my cup of tea, but I've done it before. It's not bad.
Now, the reason why a lot of people do that, they make their own applesauce with it. And I'm not talking like the soupy sauce. I'm talking like almost like a chutney type of apple. It cuts down the fat that you're eating from all the mac and cheese that you're eating. It helps you digest a little bit better.
I did not know that.
You know, it's the little things, you know. I'm looking out for your stomach, Nick.
One of my go-to things to put in mac and cheese is broccoli, for example. I'll lightly steam broccoli so it's still a little bit crunchy, toss it with olive oil because that's who I am, and then I'll throw it in my mac and cheese.
Do you like stir-ins to your mac and cheese as well? And I'm talking higher-end stir-ins.
Give me an example, Rob.
All right, we'll start off with a simple one, pulled pork.
Oh, that seems like it's heavy, no?
Oh, you mix it through your mac and cheese? What about buffalo chicken style mac and cheese?
I had it once. I've never made it myself, but it was very good because I like that buffalo sauce mixed in there.
And then you got barbecue chicken.
What about ground beef, man? That's just classic.
Okay, now you're talking like beefaroni.
Yeah, it's kind of turning into chili mac or whatever, but
exactly.
Ground beef with a tiny bit of onion mixed in, I still consider it mac and cheese, no?
Yeah, it's still mac and cheese. Now here it is. Here's the big one, Nick. With us both being from New England.
This is where we are from.
Born and raised in New England. Do you or do you not like lobster with your mac and cheese?
Listen, I am a pretentious West Coast fucker. And every single time I go to a fancy steakhouse and spend way too much on these dinners, I always, when it's available, get lobster mac. Always. And I never regret that decision. Not one time.
Okay. Is the lobster in the mac and cheese or is it put on top of the mac and cheese?
So I've had it both ways. And I can tell you, if it is on top, I tend to enjoy it more because then I'm making my own choices in life. But if If it's mixed in, I don't have a problem with it. I'll allow it.
Okay. I have a problem with it in a different way.
You know, West Coast is Australian lobster tails too. They tend to use those and that's problematic. But still, again, I'll take what I can get and I'll allow it.
Okay. Here's my problem. I'm Italian. Okay.
No, you're not. No, you definitely are.
Here's my problem. Okay. I do like lobster with mac and cheese. I just don't like lobster in mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Because.
So you want the tail set right on top, right? That's what you want?
It could be on top. It could be on its own plate off to the side. It could be with it. It could be dating it. It could be, you know, a booty call.
They don't know if they love each other yet. It's a little bit of a distance dating, right? It's a 2020 dating.
Right. I just don't want it inside with the cheese.
I can see that.
There's a big thing with fish and cheese in Italians, okay? We're purists, okay?
I hold to no culture, no tradition. I'm just a relentless robot. If it tastes good, man, I'll allow it. I'll wake up next to a horse head. It doesn't bother me, man. It's fine. I don't even know there's a message with that.
It's okay. You're on the West Coast now. You have kale smoothies.
Yeah, bring me some kale. Kale, lobster, mac and cheese. Let's do it.
Kale, lobster, mac and cheese. All I'm saying, America, is I cannot wait until Nick and I do the coffee episode. Oh,
man. It's a four-parter. What are you talking about?
Four parts. Percolating, drip.
I'll spend the whole paycheck on coffee. I'm shameless. Coffee. And still go to Dunkin' Donuts at least twice a week, by the way. So shouts, all right, in my heart.
Have you, in fact, got any cheese here at all?
Speaking of the old hometown and the old neighborhoods, you had any recommendations?
I do have some recommendations, actually. And you said it. I took an emotional journey and binged something, which on a week where we're very busy with our day jobs is hard to do. But I could not stop watching Netflix, the Challenger Final Flight documentary with Krista McAuliffe. I thought it was incredible. I finished it out. You know, she was from Boston and she taught in Concord, New Hampshire. So obviously when we went to school there, it was a big deal. You know, I'm a tiny bit younger than you, as I always point out.
By the way, America, it's 4-0.
That is correct. That is correct. I am finally midlife. So that's half over. Congratulations. But I tell you what, I remember very clearly being at school and watching it and being very confused at what happened there. You know, to see the negligence from NASA, but also to remember that it was a moment where teachers were being put on a pedestal and giving the credit that they really deserve. There's a lot of emotion in that documentary. It's very 80s, the clothes, the music. It's very well done. It is four parts, so it's a big commitment. But I really enjoyed it. I really like The Challenger, The Final Flight on Netflix. I highly, highly recommend it.
I have a recommendation for America and our listeners. I would like all of our listeners to either tweet us or email us. Email is easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or the Twitter at Nick and Rob, E2W. That's at Nick and Rob, E, the number 2W. And wish Nick a happy 40th birthday.
Ah, don't do that. Don't do that, America. Don't listen to him.
I had to go through embarrassing stuff on my 40th birthday, and so will you.
I go through it every day. Every day. I am an embarrassment.
Any shout-outs?
Shout-outs, yes, I do. Of course, Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. Last week, the boys did Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Very good movie. And next week, we're doing Cabin in the Woods. So it is Spooktober on Talking Flick. So check that out for sure. You can always read my blog, Real Watchability, realwatchability.com, and hit me up at Twitter, @RealWatch.
Awesome. Well, Nick, it's been good. It's been fun.
Are we going to win a lock of the week or what?
I hope so. I like to win
some. I kind of want to keep the streak alive. I want to be the Minnesota Vikings of lock of the week. Wish me happy birthday. Say goodbye.
Happy birthday, Nick.
Peace. Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Bookie. Peace.
This has got to end someplace.
This is such a crock of shit.